Today I want to do something different. By the way, it was a great, awesome trip, and we were on television and over again, and on the radio, and reaching, don't know how many people, but lots of people. And then I did teach two or three times every day. But also everyone that went also got to teach or give their testimony or whatever. And it was strong. So everybody got everything that they wanted out of it. So the team actually, as David said, you get a lot more out of your own team that went as you do out of serving them. But of course, they totally respected it, and they've already written a report about all that we did and all that we accomplished. But I would say we reach about 10 million people, about 38,000 churches there. And whatever I teach, Joel's always there to interpret and so on. But he has to teach it after I go. So he'll just clinch it, you know, as far as, you know, whatever I was attempting to say or did say, he'll make sure they get it, because he's one of the leaders of that whole group of people. Anyway, so God is good. I look forward to going again. I said I'd never go back, but I look forward to going again because I met a man this time. His name Peter. And he's an African, but he is the closest friend of the president's. I mean, they're like buddies. And so he said, next time you come, I'll introduce you to the president or something like that. So that would be powerful because I would like to, I also spoke, no, you were there, when we get into the soldiers?
Yep.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was very powerful. Because normally you don't preach to soldiers, but there are 6,000 soldiers in this one base, and we got, oh, it was so incredible. So we'll probably repeat that again if we go again. But that was awesome. We met some of them were very high-ranking people in the military, but they loved Jesus with all their heart and soul and strength. It was just really strong. Whatever happens, I know the next time is going to be different than what it's been, just teaching the seven chairs and marriage and so on and so forth. But they haven't forgotten that, and particularly the wives want me to teach it again about the husband bearing all the burden and the wife getting all the blessing. And it's kind of like a teaching, but the reality lags behind on that. They always insist on it. Just preach that again. And they poke their husbands. He's not listening. He's not listening. So it was kind of awesome. Anyway, so we had a great time. My physical problem is gone. So I had a physical problem, but it's been quite a while. I won't tell you what I prayed, but I prayed something that it wouldn't appear, and so on, so it didn't. But that was powerful, just to thank God. We have 7 people all together, and it was awesome. It was incredible. All right, I want to do something different. I want to teach you about life. In the Greek language, there's a word that says, instead of bios, biological life, natural life, this is about life, zoe, Z-O-E, or zoane. There's a lot of spellings on it. But that word actually means eternal life. So Jesus said, you remember one time he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, much more than you're even expecting. believe as sinners, you should be allowed to be happy in this world as well as the next. Now, Jesus said, if you want to live, and I'm going to give you maybe 10 scriptures, if I get that far, but I probably will. But these 10 scriptures, you can write them down. We live, the Bible says, we live, talking Zoe, by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live by every word. Well, we all know there's basically law and gospel. Law is you do it. Gospel is God does it for you. And which one would you choose? God doing it all for me so that it's perfect, or you doing it and be frustrated? So there's no question about it. Not only do we not want to do God's will, we're at enmity with him, and we can't. He actually says that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So all your efforts are worthless. Everything that you do to please God, because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and so on and so forth and soul and so on. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, nobody's ever done that. Nobody, ever, ever, ever. They can fake it. They can pretend like it's just a lip service rather than a heart feeling. Nobody's ever loved God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength. Certainly not continuously, but they didn't even do it once. Zero. And so what God wants, nobody can supply. And so since he created us in such a way that we're capable of doing it, but we never do it, makes us guilty, makes us sinners, makes us not wanting to humble ourselves about it and just do our own thing. Because, as you know, naturally you're born in such a way that God owns you. And you're under a law. The minute you're born, you're subject to the law. Do what God said. But nobody ever has. So, poor God, because nobody wants to do what he wants. And don't feel sorry for him, because he's okay. But he has a trick in his agenda, is to figure out how to make it so that you win anyway, even though you don't work. You don't love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You don't love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, there's no peace on earth, goodwill toward men, because nobody wants to do it. And since that's the case, God comes up with this trick of forgiving people. So it's like, here's a way. Instead of doing it by behaving, let's do it just by faith. So we believe in this church, and we teach this and confess this, that even though we're sinners and never did do a lick of work for God, still we agree that's a good thing, but we'd rather have him do it than us, because he's perfect. And I'm definitely way, way, way low on the scale of being. I don't even want to try it. It's not a contest for me. It's like, I don't want to do it. So as a pastor, that's not good. So you need to taste it yourself and say, hey, this is really great, you know. But I found out it's sick. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I never did it at any time. But I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian by faith. So the obvious thing is Jesus transfers you out. He transfers you out of the law and gets you into the gospel. You know, go from bad news to good news. Go to, you know, from dark to light and so on. So everyone here is a Christian by faith, because you believe now that God has redeemed you, saved you, rescued you from this world, because the wages of sin is death. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I mean, you know, I didn't even care about that, but I just was going to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, on my own. But now that I'm a pastor, And I was a pastor long before I was a Christian. In other words, I was a phony, fake liar, and so on. But one day I decided, in right here in Fort Worth, I decided I might as well, instead of deceiving people, I probably should tell the truth. I'm not a Christian. I never have been, probably never will be. And I just thought I'd tell you that so that you can go to another church or find some place where you'll have a phony pastor, so on and so forth. But at least I told the truth. And I felt really good about that because I didn't really feel good about being a pastor and then phony, completely liar, con artist, etc. So, have you all experienced what I just said? Is that you know that all of you are sinners. Are you aware of that? All have sinned, the Bible says. All have sinned. You have definitely, definitely, definitely. Now, which one is the biggest sinner? You are?
Sure.
Uh-uh.
She's just been around me too long.
That's funny. I thought you were going to point at Chad.
No.
That's awesome.
She's wrong. She's trying to take the burden.
You want the burden, give him the blessing.
No, I don't really want it.
You don't want it, yeah. No. That's cool. Because nobody wants to do what God wants, you know. Not my will, but thine be done. Nobody says that. I don't want his will, I want my own. I always want my own. Everyone's like that. But I've been born again by faith, so I'm into the faith thing. I love that. I love this, that you don't have to do it by works of the law. You can do it by just staying the same as you are and letting God do it all. You know, just let him do it all. Yeah. Whatever he wants to do, go for it, Jesus. Yeah. That's amazing. How many know that God counts that as righteous?
Amen.
How many know that God he doesn't count the one where you're supposed to be good and you're not. He called that hypocrite. But he likes the one where you're not good and you do believe that Jesus is good for dying for you.
Amen.
So I like to talk about that. So the first scripture I wanted to say is Matthew 4:4, which says, man shall not live, not biology, but have eternal life. Man shall not live by what?
Bread.
You don't live by bread because you eat every day. Most people do eat every day. It's hard not to. So man shall not live eternal life by bread alone. So you're not an animal. I just said something powerful. You're not an animal. Because animals are totally biologically determined. And so, and it's hard to train them not to be like that. You have to really break them to be different. So since you're not an animal, Dewey's wrong. The guy that invented the decimal system here. He's wrong. And so that became standard now. Everyone is taught, you're an animal, you know, you have arms, they have legs and arms and stuff like that. So those are morphological similarities, but that doesn't make you an animal. So man has never been an animal, according to Scripture. So in Scripture, you are unique. You were created in a way that you were created by God to look like him and then act like him. Look and act. Okay. So, in Hebrew, the word is this. Na aseh Adam. Let us make man in our image. Betzalemnu. Ki demutnu. Okay. So, let us make man in our image. Looks like us. Doesn't look a frog. You're not like a frog. You're not like a snake or butterfly or whatever. You're made in the image of God, but also you'll have the capacity, the ability to actually be like him, be a steward. You'd be a trustee. You'd be someone that you account to him for everything you've done. So man is born under the law. You're now, everybody's created to be a steward of God. Everyone has to account to him. What decisions did you make today? well, not in line with what you wanted, and so on. You get to make that decision. And since I wasn't raised as a Christian, and I didn't have any Christianity in me, and I had no interest in religion at all, I was 11 years old before my third father forced us to go to church. And it was my normal thought is Christians are hypocrites and liars. And so that was my normal thought. And when I went there, it solidified. Christians are liars. Because the little kid next to me, because I was 11, little kid next to me, I said, why do those ladies wear gloves? They were at the altar and they had gloves on. He said, if they don't, lightning strikes them and they're dead. Now that's a little kid's view of things. I thought to myself, baloney. I don't believe that. So I went over there after everyone exited the room, and there was the railing right there that they couldn't touch, or the lightning would strike them. I just thought about that. I don't know. I don't believe it, but liars. So that's it. So my little experiment proved that ain't necessarily so. Of course, I didn't wait 24 hours. I just knew right away. No, I don't buy this. This thing, you don't use your brain in this thing. You don't use any of your normal, you know, things that God gives you. But I wasn't against it. I just didn't want to behave. I just never wanted to behave. I was always, several of my family members are all mafia from Chicago. And so, in fact, all of them. So that's the way it goes. And so I was going to grow up to be a criminal. I was going to be a white-collar criminal or a blue-collar criminal. I thought the blue-collar is the guys that shoot you and stuff. The white-collar is the one that go to Harvard, Yale, and then, you know, try to redeem the family by entering into crooked but look like legitimate businesses and so on. So I thought, you know, I'd rather make money on this thing. So probably telling you way too much and you don't want to know about this, but that's the way I grew up. And because I lied, cheated, and stole everything that I had, because we were poor, I mean, really, really poor, we didn't have any hope of ever improving our lives. So this guy came to me out of the church my third father made us go to, and he said to me in the sixth, seventh grade, I don't know, eighth grade, whatever, he said to him, I'm the one over the electrical union that controls training people to be, you know, first year, you know, helper, and after that you become the master and so on and so forth. And the standard rate at that time was 99 cents an hour. That was the going wage for young people. And he said, you'll be starting out at 310 an hour. It's like, gah. Three times as much as everybody else. Wow. So he said, do you want to go to college? He said, I don't have any money. And he said, I'll take care of that. Because what he was saying to me, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's the way the mafia operates. And so everything was who you know. I was like, I don't even know anything I'm doing. So he took a idiot, a person like myself, and, you know, started training me. So I advanced because I found out I could make more moonlighting than I could even on the job. So even though I was paid that, because they said to me in the mafia, they said, when the inspector comes around, stop everything you're doing and just sit there, because you're not supposed to be left alone. You should have, you know, someone that's, you know, training you, and they have to stay with you. Part of the rules. But so I realized that, and then men said to me, "You can steal from the company, but don't steal from us." And they used expletive, all kinds of words that said that, because every other word out of their mouth is "Give me the blank blank hammer" and so on and so forth. And I realized, well, that's not Christian. That's not good, but I took right to it. And so I learned if you want to communicate with people, you have to speak their language. You have to say what they're going to say. So that led me down the wrong path. But because I did cheat and lie and steal and all that kind of stuff, I never studied, I never did any homework, nothing. It's kind of like the kids do today. They just learn to feel good or something. So, but you had to know stuff, so I just cheated and so on and so forth. So I went all the way to Yale. I had scholarships from Harvard, Yale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because I cheated on everything. So no one knew how easy it is to cheat. I'm sure a few of you have tried that in school. It's something you do, but a lot of people did it, but I was gifted at it. I really didn't want to be caught, because the minute you're caught, you're then you don't have freedom. And I love freedom. I always wanted to be free to do whatever I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and so on and so forth. So this life thing of being born again and regenerated and so on and so forth, it made no sense to my brain at all. And so that's why I stayed away from religion. But because I went to a church school, just like TCU or SMU or one of these U's, because I went there, they were already trying to get you to be a Christian or something like that. I don't want to. I like doing the way I do because I'm natural. I'm natural at it, not because of the family, just because of the way I was raised, because my grandmother married umpteen times, my mother slept around, did all kinds of things, and so on and so forth. And so I grew up in what's called poor white Irish trash. That's how I advanced or degenerated. And didn't bother me because I didn't have any conscience. I had no conscience at all. I didn't feel bad about lying, cheating, stealing. I was proud of it. I liked it. I liked doing what I did. So instead of being angry at myself, I was actually proud of myself for being clever and whatever. And so I finally did get caught one day. It's the only time I've ever been caught. And then I thought they were going to send me to go to jail or something like that. And I thought, you have to remember about Christians, they have to forgive you. So if you go there to the dean, of men, if you go there and you cry, they'll think you're sorry and they'll let you off, because that's Christians have to do that. So I did. I was awesome. I was awesome at crying. Oh, God. You know, so I just faked it and so on and so forth. And so he let me off and even let me keep the job I had, which is in the library where I'd stolen all those books. I had at least from here to the corner all books that I had, because I didn't like to take them back and pay a rent. You know, I didn't want to pay a fine. So I just kept them. And one day I got caught because this speaker was coming there, and he's one of the brilliant men, you know, that wrote this book. And I thought, you know, if I take this book, I'll know everything when he comes. I'll know everything that the guy is going to say. So it's a good way of knowing everything. So I stole it, but not knowing that it was on the desk, but they didn't put it in their system yet. So then they were looking for that book because that guy's going to come, and they sent that book. And so they figured out some student must have done that. Well, I worked for the library, so I was one of the first ones they went to. And they thought, we got to check his room to see whether he's stolen all this. And it was hidden behind the beds, but it was just the carpet was just up over it. And so it was behind the beds, but you couldn't see it. And the house mother wasn't that sharp, and she just, you know, didn't notice. Because I look innocent. Do I not look like... What could that... You know, that person's nice. And so on and so forth. Anyway, they caught me, so I cried, got off the hook. That's the only time I've ever been caught. So I realized you can cheat yourself all the way through life and, you know, just do whatever you want to do. So I always did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. That way, new message. Here's the new message was, if you believe on me and my words, you'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. It's like, whoa, that's a good deal. I like that deal. Because I can still be sinful and wicked, but I also can just be a believer. And then you're just born again, and that's it. Just because you believed. And he reckons that as a true Christian. It's like, that is so easy because Jesus did it for you. He didn't expect you to do it. He knew you wouldn't, so he sent Jesus. Now, this is the scripture I want you to look at. Now you know how you were created, but then he mitigated that by saying, if I want to, if I choose to, Exodus 33:19, I can reserve this to myself, my royal prerogative right. I can reserve this to myself. Anytime I want to, I can show grace to a sinner. Hanan in Hebrew. So the Hebrew word is Hanan, C-H-A-N-A-N. Or whoever I want to. So God gave the law to Moses, but then he changed it by saying, but I reserve myself the right, anytime I want to, I can forgive a sinner. Or show mercy to him, chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. So chesed means the loving kindness of God. So we translate it mercy. So anytime I want, I can show mercy to a sinner. I can be gracious to them, just give them something free that they didn't even ask for. Or I can forgive their sins. Wow, I'll take that. I want that. I want the easy way. I always want the easy way. Because the easy way is to do what's natural. The easy way is to, you know, just do what you want to do. And so I always did, and I always was happy. I was a very happy-go-lucky person because nothing was expected. My parents were... they never knew what I did. I used to jump out of the window at night, live my life, then climb the tree, get back in my second-story house, and then sleep as though I've been asleep. And so they didn't know what I did. Even late, after I was married, they didn't know it. They never had figured that out. I thought they probably did know, but didn't say anything. But so they didn't, and... So when I became a Christian by just reading, I didn't read it to become a Christian. I read it just to see, what do you do in Western society? You have to be a Christian, I guess. Everybody seems to be here in America anyway. So I'll just read it to see what it says. Why do people think it's so good? Because people seem to be hypocrites and liars, and kind of like me. But they some pretend like they don't know about it. Others pretend like they're genuine. But the Bible said those are hypocrites that do that, whereas the people that are just cold and nasty like myself, and the other one far outweighs the moral ones outweigh the immoral ones. So it'll never be changed. Always moral people are hypocrites. That is, they really don't do the law. They just say they do. But they're actually lying to themselves. They're trying to establish their own righteousness by doing it in the flesh. Anybody following me so far? So, what God did was he said, since it's not working out, I'm going to speak to Abraham. And I'm going to tell Abraham to kill his son. See what he does. I'll test him. So, he was... let's say 112. Nobody knows exactly, but let's say it's 112. At that age, he was already a man of faith. But he said, to test you, now that you believe that, I want you to kill your own son. Go up to Mount Moriah and kill your son. And so as his son was going with him, he said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham, instead of saying, you're it, but he didn't say that. He was clever like me. And he said, God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. Well, the Bible says that was what God intended was 2,000 years later, Jesus would be born, and he would be the lamb when he was 30-some years. He would be the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. So he'd forgive your sin. So the Bible in John 8, 56 says that Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. In other words, he was going to kill his own son, but God said, whoa, whoa, don't do that. I now know you believe in me. I now know that you have faith in me. And so I don't want you to kill your son. And then he didn't say what he was going to do. He didn't say that. But Abraham had said it. And God honored what he said, that God himself will provide the lamb. In other words, you're at enmity with me because I gave you a law and you're subject to me and nobody's done it. But instead of that, I'm going to offer a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good, keep the law because you don't do it. Nobody's done it. Ever. And so therefore, I'm just going to give it to you as a free gift. How many know free gifts are better than working hard? I mean, if you could be just paid for doing nothing, you know, that's what a lot of people do in America today, just do nothing and just take the entitlement you get from the government and so on and so forth. It's great. Lots of people love that idea. Well, that's not in the Bible. So the Bible is, take the free gift and enjoy it. It's for your enjoyment because I love you. I don't have any malice toward you. I don't hate sinners, unlike Buddha and the other ones that want you to be under a law. I just give you this as a free gift because I love you while you're yet a sinner. How many know that when God saved you, what you call saved, he actually loved you while you were yet a sinner? And even after you're Christians, you still sin. How many know that? You still sin and fall short of the glory of God. So even though you're a Christian and you're born again and you're regenerated and you have faith in Jesus, you still can sin. And the Bible says in 1 John, little John, 1 John, it says, if you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. So you have to admit you're a sinner. But the wages of sin is death, so nobody wants to admit that. But the truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do you have eternal life? Have faith. But faith apparently is not the final deal. It was only chair four, as we say, chair four. You actually have to suffer after that, and you actually have to have hope while you're suffering, and you actually have to rejoice while you're suffering. How many know that's impossible? So the first idea that God had, obey me, didn't work. The second idea he had was, okay, I'll forgive you for your sin, but I want you to shape up. He didn't say that. He actually said no. He is faithful and just, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Now, you still have it, but he forgave it. That's chair four. Chair five is, and to cleanse you from all sin, from all unrighteousness. Wow, that's amazing that God is promising, not commanding, not telling you what to do. He's promising because he made this promise to Abraham. He provided the lamb for a burnt offering. Jesus did that. And so now he's promising that if he begins a good work in you, he'll surely complete it. So Jackie, when you see Jesus someday, the trumpet sounds, you get your new body and your new soul, you will be perfect. You don't look perfect today, but you are perfect in God's sight. Because the good work He began in you, He will surely complete, so you'll be perfect. So, you might as well celebrate today. You don't have to wait to see it. Blessed are those that, not seeing it, yet believe. Wow. So He's testing your faith like He tested Abraham. Do you still believe that God is good? Do you still believe God is good? As Latrice sound out. You know, you just do it, and all the prisoners said, amen. Why? Because it's good news. And so obviously she had good news in mind when she shouted those words out. And they, I'll take it. It's free. Now they're in prison. They haven't yet been set free, but they're already free inside because God is not mad at them and He wanted them to have that free gift. So how many know here, just by faith, you already are accounted righteous by God? So He not only said this, I'll forgive your sins, but second of all, I will eliminate them. The power of sin will no longer control you, even though they're still there. Don't look at your behavior, look at your faith. Amen. Don't look at your behavior, look at your faith. Amen. How many know there's a lag between believing in something and then the promise being fulfilled? That's right. So since the promise hasn't been fulfilled, even for us, the best is yet to come. We haven't yet tasted the new wine. Everything that's remaining right now that has not yet been fulfilled is so weird, different than anything you've experienced so far. Everything you experience right now, you will never, ever be in that boat again. Because the world to come is the day of the Lord, which punishes evildoers, but not you, because you had faith. So you're just saved by faith. Hallelujah. And anyone who believes actually then begins to experience in this world, but not perfect, until the perfect comes, and that's Jesus coming back. And as soon as He descends from heaven, riding on a cloud, remember that's how He went, and the angel said He'll come back the same way. He rides on the cloud, the trumpet sounds, you get your new body and your new soul. Now you're perfect, but you look like, actually, and you can ride a cloud up. So you're going to ascend up and rule, because up is clouds. And the first layer is, you know, the atmosphere and the stratosphere and all those spheres. But as you move up, those clouds surround the earth. And you're going to ride one of those. So that would be awesome. How many know you don't have that body right now? Amen. So you are saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved. Amen. Past, present, and future. So this is a process, 4, 5, and 6. You're not yet a lover because you haven't yet suffered. If you don't suffer, you'll not be glorified with Him. So 6 is glorified. If you suffer, 5, because you were born again, 4. So if you have that understanding that being born again doesn't end it, that's just the beginning. So the ending is 6, where you're a lover, where you actually love your neighbor as yourself. You actually pray for your enemies. You actually, when trouble comes, you say these words: I confess my sin, and I give praise to God in the midst of this problem. Before you change it, I give praise to God that my sin is the issue here. And not only that, I pray for, love, and forgive my enemies. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Wow. That's the way to defeat the enemy. That's the way to do it. Just do that. So since that doesn't make sense to your brain can't fathom that. You can't grasp that. But God wants you to be happy right now, and you don't see it. So be happy right now. So are you happy?
Happy?
Happy? Right. That's just by faith. Are you happy? Oh, it's just by faith. But you don't have to see it to believe it. And blessed is the one that doesn't see it and yet believes it. So I believe I will appear before God, and I'll be perfect.
Yes.
In fact, I don't have to wait. I already, by faith, right, I can celebrate right now. Woo!
That's right. Praise God. Yeah. Glory.
Do you all see what I'm saying?
Yeah. All the glory.
Now, don't preach this to anybody because it's ridiculous. But I'm just saying, later on, don't go and tell the people at work and all that kind of stuff. Just later on, they'll understand that we're weird, we're strange, we're strangers down here, we're pilgrims down here, and nobody understands. The world doesn't think you're really new creations. They don't think you're actually can be happy in this world as well as the next. So I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. So I don't get frustrated and so on and so forth. Because I know what to do. Confess my own sin. Praise God because he's able to deliver me in his due season. And I pray for, bless, and I completely love my neighbor, even my enemies, as myself. Now, is that a transformation? Yes. Because I didn't used to be like this at all. So I'm totally a new creation. I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And now I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. How can you do that? Because I'm Christian. And I did that by faith. So I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to believe it to see it. So since that's the case, the best has been saved to the last. And so these scriptures that I'm giving you today just says how God always changes that which is a weight on you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. So he trades your labor for rest. In other words, don't do the works of the law. Don't be under the yoke of bondage. Don't worry about keeping the law. You can't keep it. Nobody's kept it. Nobody ever will. But Jesus did. But Jesus kept it, not for himself, for you. Since Jesus kept it, I did love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. And I do love my neighbor as myself. Now, do you really believe that or are you a hypocrite? No. I actually believe that. I believe that what I'm doing around the world and so on and so forth is successful, not because I'm successful. It's because Jesus was. And so because of that, I'm totally happy all the time. Why? Because he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So I rejoice. You cannot make me scared or nervous or whatever, because I don't believe anything bad can happen to me. And if it does, I'll just resurrect. I'm not even worried about it. So let it be whatever it is, because you don't control this world. Is anybody aware of that? You do not control this world. It's a nasty, rotten, no good place, but there are pleasures and so on and so forth. But those pleasures that there are not to make you happy. Those pleasures that are just are gifts of God. But I would not rely upon them because they're, you know, anything can happen all the time. And God doesn't disallow it because he loves sinners. He's the only God that loves sinners. Buddha doesn't. They're all under a law. They have to behave. We don't have to behave. Why? Because you can't anyway. Besides, Jesus did it. He already did it. It's past tense. He did it 2,000 years ago. So I don't have to do what he's already done. How can I repeat what he did? Because he was perfect and I'm not. So the best has been saved to the last. So these scriptures that I've given you, and there's more. I have a full list if you want some. Because every minute of your life, God is always blessing you. He never wakes up thinking, what you did yesterday, I'm so disappointed in you. It never has said that. Never thought that. And never will. Because he loves sinners. That's me. That's me. But I'm no longer a sinner. Now he calls me a saint. So if he calls me a saint, I am a saint. King. Jim, you are a saint. That's amazing. I know I never acted saintly. And when I did, I give him all the credit. Why? Because I was just a vine in his branch. I was just a branch in his vine. And so it wasn't he doing it. It was he was the vine and I'm a branch grafted in by God the Father into the Son. And then the fruit that came out wasn't me at all. I was just a dead branch, break off the branch, bear no fruit. Keep the branch in, bears fruit. So that was Jesus, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and goodness and all those things. So those nine fruits of the Spirit are all Jesus. He loves unconditionally. He's joyous, joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's peaceful, peace that passes understanding. You cannot grasp any of these things. Everything in the Bible is meant to kill your flesh. Everything in the Bible is meant to kill your flesh. Everything, even the good stuff, it's all meant to kill your flesh. Do you realize that? It's just to expose you. He said, I not only forgive you, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin. And you're ungodly. Even as a Christian, you still do ungodly things, right? We still lie and cheat and so on and so forth, or whatever. And he isn't worried about that. What he's worried about is, do you believe in your sin or do you believe in Jesus' righteousness? Amen. Well, if that's his righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'll give you everything else the Gentiles seek. Whatever they are after, I'll give you that. So if that's a free gift, that's a promise. That's amazing. Do you think that if you do what God said, which is nothing, that God will bless you for no reason at all? In other words, you'll be good for nothing. How many of you are good for nothing? Yeah, you're good for nothing. You good for nothing. That's what God said. You're good for nothing. So you don't have to be good for any reason, because there's no reason to be good, because you're not good, because you're not perfect. But he just gives it to you as a free gift. This is eternal life, free gift. You didn't pay for it. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to do what Buddha and, you know, the Hindus and all those people. They're all trying to get on God's good side. I started out with God loving me as a sinner. They don't love sinners. They always want sinners to shape up. But our religion is different. Our religion is, no, you don't shape up. God does everything, or it's not done. Amen. God is the only actor in the universe. Only actor in the universe. No one else is. So you can't do it. He's already done it. It's already over. So the new creation has already begun. You have it in your heart by faith. You'll see it in your life, because he's faithful not only to forgive your sin, but also to remove the power of sin in your life. You have the guilt taken care of in chair 4. Now the power of God, because you know him, and the power of his resurrection is now yours. You're able to know him now, and the power of his resurrection. It's perfect. Why? I didn't do it. He did it. He did it for me. Now he's doing it in me, and then he'll do it through me. And when men see my good works, they will give glory to, not me, they'll give glory to the Father in heaven for doing all the works he's done. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't know why anyone isn't jumping up and saying, wow, this is really good news. It's good news. If he can love a sinner like you, he could love anybody. I have never met anyone as wicked as I am, nasty as I am, cold as I am, calculating as I am. I've never met anyone. We've had people in this church that look like they're worse. Not so. But if he can love me, he can love you. Why? Because I have no worth. I have no value. I have no dignity except what God gives me. Free gift. Free gift. Do I deserve it? No. Totally unmerited favor. Just dislikes me. He likes me so much, and he likes you so much. If you could get a hold of that, it'd change your life.
Yeah.
Did you know that the blood of Jesus does all these things I've been talking about? They just give you 4, then 5, then 6. He does all that. If you had to do it, it wouldn't be done. Imperfect. Under a law, nothing is made perfect. Under a law, nothing is made perfect. So the laws of man, the laws of God, the natural law, all those laws, nothing is made perfect by any of those laws. The only thing is the truth. That sets free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, God is good. It's awesome. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So, because of that, we have no judgment for anyone else. We don't have judgment for people that are no good. Right? Why? Because God is love. And God is love. And so he's perfecting that love in you right now. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Why? Because God is at work. Jesus said, my Father works and I still work. In other words, he doesn't just forgive, he also cleanses his temple. You're the temple of the living God. He's cleansing the temple right now. You'll be the sheep. He'll separate from the goat. Don't be part of the whore, because he's going to judge that whore. Come ye out from the midst of her, my people, the whore of Babylon. So when you pull away, God will judge, and you'll be the only one left. Because if you stay with her, he'll have to judge you too. But he wants you to be free right now, forever and ever. Is there anyone here that has making provision for flesh? Is there anyone here that's making provision for flesh? Anyone?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Because if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, all sin. Boom, done. Until you're perfect. So he first forgives you, then he cleanses you, then he perfects you. Until the day when he comes back and that trumpet sounds, you'll then be part of another world. You won't be part of this world anymore.
Amen.
So the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best yet. All the good stuff is saved. All the good stuff is saved. The only thing that he did is he told you in his word how much I love you just the way you are. Don't work. Don't labor. Don't do anything. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. For my yoke, easy. My burden, light. Wow. That's good news.
Amen.
Now, let's have a couple of testimonies and we'll quit. So, testify quickly.